All right, good. Let's take our Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Tonight, as we look again at how to pray, we've got a wonderful concept and actually a wonderful promise. Wouldn't it be something if God said, "You can ask me anything that you want, and I'll do it"? Wouldn't that be something? If God said, "You can ask anything that you want, and I'll do it." You say, "Well, how could that be? I mean, if He said I could ask anything I want, then people would be asking for $1 million. They'd be asking, you know, all kinds of crazy things. So how could God ever say that?" Well, there's a promise that says that, but it's a conditional promise. Some promises in the Bible are unconditional. God says, "Look, this is going to happen. I promise you it will happen." Other promises in the Bible are conditional, where God says, "If you do this, then I promise I will do this." There are conditional promises. Well, this is one of those conditional promises. Look down in John chapter 15, and our verse tonight is verse number 7. John 15, verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." John 15, 7. Let's read it together. We'll pause at each of the commas. I'll say the reference, then you jump in and say the verse, and then we'll all say the reference again at the end. All right? John 15, 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." John 15, 7. Father, help me tonight to explain the part about this verse that I know. Lord, I'm sure that I don't even understand the depths of the riches of John 15, 7. But Father, would you take some of the concepts that you've communicated to me over the years, and may they become crystal clear to some folks here tonight. And may our prayer lives be inspired. And may we understand what it is to meet those conditions, and then to see you do great and marvelous things that are according to your will and according to the will that we've asked, according to our will as well, when they line up together. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a promise of all prevailing prayer. "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." That's all prevailing prayer. You can ask anything that you want to ask, and He'll do it if you meet these conditions. So these are really important conditions then, aren't they? Because if I could meet those conditions, wow, I could ask God for something. You say, "Now, Pastor Nieder, isn't that a little bit presumptuous?" It sounds a little bit presumptuous to say, "I could ask God for anything and He'll do it." But it's not presumptuous because that's what Jesus said. And if somebody says it, that's not presumptuous. If Dick Marlowe said, "Hey, Pastor Nieder, tonight after church, I'm going to give you $100. Just come up and ask me for it." Well, then after church, I would blip, 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 blip. I'd be right over there to Dick Marlowe and say, "Hey, can I have the $100 that you promised me?" And that wouldn't be presumptuous because He told me to ask him. Now, if I went over to Mark Cain and asked for $100, that'd be different, you know. He didn't tell me, right? Dick didn't tell me either. But if He did, that's not presumptuous. So when Jesus says, "Look, you can ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you," that's not wrong for me to think and expect that God's going to do the things that I ask, if I meet the conditions that He's given to me here in the verse. So let's look at these conditions and see what they are. First of all, in verse 7 it says, "If ye abide in me." If ye abide in me. The first condition is that we abide in Christ. Now, how shall we understand this condition? What does it mean to abide in Christ? First of all, let's notice that verse 7 comes after verses 1 through 6. That's kind of obvious. But what I mean is, in verses 1 through 6, Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. Does anybody remember who's the vine? Everybody say it out loud. Who's the vine? Jesus. And who's the branches? We are, okay? In verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Then down in verse 5, He says, "I am the vine, Ye are the branches. Okay, so he's the vine, we're the branches. What's that have to do with abiding in him? Well, the word abide means stay, remain, live. And so for the branches to abide in the vine means they stay connected. Stay connected to the vine. And then you have life. The branch has life. The branch lives. The branch flourishes when it's connected to the vine. He's the vine. We're the branches. Okay, branches have no independent life of their own. One day at our old property years ago, I was out doing some weed whacking. Now, usually Josh did the weed whacking, but one day I was out weed whacking, and I wasn't as good at it as he was. And as I was trying to whack down some weeds, I actually clipped the shoot of one of our nice flowering plants. Oh man, it didn't cut all the way through it. It just kind of nicked it just enough to, you know, make it wobble a little, and it was not very good. Well, the next week I was out mowing the lawn, and I looked over, and sure enough, that thing, that stalk just totally wilted. It was gone. Might as well just pluck it off now, because that branch, any branch has no independent life of its own. Okay? If it's not connected to the vine, if it's not connected to the main tree, it's not going to survive. So when we think about abiding in Christ, we've got to make that connection. I've got to stay connected to him. Now, when connected to the vine, the sap of life flows into that branch, and all kinds of things happen. Buds, leaves, fruit, all these good things come from the branch being connected to the vine. Branches that are severed from the vine or partially severed have the sap hindered, and that branch cannot be healthy. So to abide in Christ is to realize I have no independent life of my own. I put it this way on your note sheet. To abide in Christ is to renounce any independent life of our own and to renounce any life apart from Christ. Now, that word renounce, what does renounce mean? Renounce means to give up, especially by a formal announcement. So I'm supposed to renounce the fact that I have any independent life of my own. I'm not supposed to go around thinking, you know, I can handle this life. I'm okay. I'm not a perfect Christian, but I'm doing all right. I'm pretty good, and, you know, I'm glad I'm saved. And no, wait a minute. John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Okay, I have no independent life of my own. Without him, I'm a zero with the rim rubbed out. Okay, I'm just not there. I'm just nothing. Now, to abide in Christ means to renounce that independent life. In other words, to give up my independent life and to do it by a formal announcement. I think it ought to happen every morning. Every morning we ought to say, now, Lord, I die to myself today. I'm nothing today. You're everything. Take over. Don't just help me today, but have me. You know, I used to always pray, Lord, help me do this. Lord, help me do that. Lord, help me do this. Now I try to say, Lord, have me to do this. Have me to do that. It just helps me think right about it. It's not help me. Help me makes it sound like I can do some, but I just need some little help here, Lord. No, the truth is I can't do any of it. Young people, you can't make it through school. You can't make it at your place of work. You can't get along with your husband or wife. We can't do it. But Christ can do it. And if he takes over, if we renounce our own independent life and say, Lord, I don't have my own life anymore. It belongs to you. Now, I think that ought to take place in a specific time in somebody's life, but I also think it needs to take place daily. Paul said, I die daily. And he didn't mean physical death because he was still alive. He meant, I die to my own desires, my own will, my own plans. Lord, I surrender. My life is yours. And when we surrender like that, that's the first step in abiding in Christ. We renounce any life that we have apart from Christ. That word renounce also means to reject or disown. I take this life that I think I've built, and I say, no, that's nothing, Lord. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, all those things that I've done, I count them but dung that I may win Christ. Okay, he uses some pretty strong words there, okay? All those great things that I thought were so great that I did in my life, compared to Christ, that's nothing. I count that as refuse. I renounce that. I want Christ to live out his life through me. So abide in Christ is to renounce any independent life of our own and any life apart from Christ. And then further, to abide in Christ is to look for his life to flow into us. If I'm abiding in Christ, first of all, I renounce any life of my own, but then I look for, I anticipate, I expect it to happen, that his life is going to flow into me. Now, the Lord can't fill us if we're already full of self. So that's where the renouncing comes in. We empty the vessel of self, and now there's room in the vessel to pour something else in. And God's Holy Spirit can empower us and fill us. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So abiding in Christ is looking for his life to flow into you. And looking for it. That means anticipating it, expecting it, believing it's going to be so. So here you are in the morning, having your prayer time, which, Lord willing, you have some prayer time every day. And it's good to do it in the morning before you get out into your day. And you say, now, Lord, I renounce any life of my own. I want to be empty of myself today. Now you fill me, Lord, with your Spirit. You take over. Let Christ's life flow into me. Then when I get up from my knees from that prayer, I get up expecting that God did it. Because he wants to do it, right? I'm asking according to his will. It's his will for me to be controlled by Christ. So I get up and maybe I don't feel any difference, not based on feelings, it's based on the Word. And I go out thinking, okay, Lord, you promised to fill me. You told me to ask for it. I've asked for it. So I'm going to trust that you filled me. And here we go. Let's see what's going to happen today, Lord, as you take over and live through me. We expect and look for his life to flow into us. And then we look for his life to flow out through us. We ought to go through the day then looking to see, what's God going to do today? Who's he going to let me witness to? Who's he going to have call me on the phone? We had a guy come by our house last night. It was starting to get dark out. I'm like, nobody comes to our house and knocks, you know, late at night. But here they are. This guy shows up, and he's trying to sell me some stuff to help my kids' education. You know, I was going to brag on my kids and tell them they're all getting A's, but I didn't do that. I just said, well, you know, we're not really interested. But he was a persistent guy, and he's very personable and hard to say no to, you know. So he said, can we sit down for a few minutes? I said, no, I don't really have time to sit down. I said, I'm a preacher. It's Saturday night. I'm putting the finishing touches on my messages for tomorrow. He goes, you're a preacher? I said, yeah. And he said, then he just went into his spiel standing up instead of sitting down. So I listened for a minute or two and was polite to him. And I thought, if I listen to him, maybe he'll listen to me. And I got to give him a tract and encourage him to read it, tell him he could know for sure he's going to heaven. And it was a good day. But the Lord helped me to be looking for something. See, if I'm not looking for it, if I'm not abiding in Christ at that moment, the guy comes to the door and I'm like, oh, brother. No, I'm not interested. Get out of here. Well, that was an opportunity. That was somebody the Lord brought across my path. Some people call them a divine appointment. God gave me a divine appointment, an opportunity to witness to somebody. Well, you know, if we're looking for that, to abide in Christ means I'm looking for that. I'm looking for his life to flow into me and then to flow out through me. What is Christ going to do through my body today? What's he going to say through my mouth today? Where's he going to go through my legs today? Who's he going to talk to through my lips and my tongue today? Abiding in Christ is to let his life flow through us. Now, the extent to which we do this, abide in Christ, is the extent to which our prayers will obtain the things that we ask. Does that make sense? If I abide in Christ a little bit, then I'll see a little bit of my prayers answered. If I abide in Christ a lot, I'll see a lot of my prayers answered. Because he said, if ye abide in me, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And we ought to expect it to happen. As we abide in Christ, our prayers become the prayers that he would pray. You see, I don't have any independent life of my own, so I'm not asking for $1 million. Because Christ is living his life through me, and so now I'm asking the things that he wants me to ask for. And so that's why he could say, if you ask in my name, I'll do it. If you abide in me, you ask what you want, and I'll do it, because you're going to want the things that he wants. And that's the all-prevailing promise in prayer. Our prayers will be in line with the will of God, and then our prayers will be answered when we abide in him. Now, I have two steps to abiding on your sheet. Number one, receive salvation. And I think we've got our regular folks here tonight, but it still could be that somebody's not saved. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, you can't abide in him if you're not even saved. So you've got to be saved. And then step number two, as we said, renounce self. Renounce self. And when we do that, we can trust that we're abiding in him. Well, look down again at verse 7, and we'll see the second condition. If ye abide in me, and here it comes, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So here we see the second condition, for his words to abide in us. What does it mean for God's words to abide in us? Once again, that word abide means remain, live, or stay. So God's words remain in us. God's words live in us. God's words stay in us. I think we could say it means that we must study God's word, devour God's word, think upon God's word, meditate on it, obey it, memorize it, be controlled by it. That's what it means for God's word to abide in us. Let me go over a few of those. Study it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Someday I'll preach a message on that verse, approved or ashamed. Approved or ashamed. And the key is studying the Bible. Study God's word. If we want God's word to abide in us, we've got to study it. We've got to take it seriously. Steph recently got certified for real estate. I'm sure there was some study that had to go on. And here you're getting ready to take this test, and so you're looking at that book, you're comparing this part of the book with the other part, making sure you know the list, making sure you know what to do in this situation and the other situation, because you're studying that thing. Well, that's what we do with the Bible. Sometimes we just, I read my chapter today. We didn't really study it. Okay, we've got to study God's Word if it's going to abide in us. We've got to devour it. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. I always thought, that's kind of a weird verse. What do? You take the scroll and start munching on it? Well, we talk that way. Do you ever hear somebody say, man, you just devoured that book. You read it cover to cover, man. You devoured that thing. All right. That means you really got into it. Boy, it was important to you. You set aside other things to spend time to get through that book. When we devour God's Word, when we abide in His Word, we'll set aside some other things so that we have more time to get into His book. And we'll think upon it or meditate on it. That's what meditation means. I was telling our new believers class this morning, I said, we were talking about Bible reading. I said, meditate doesn't mean like transcendental meditation, hold your fingers in the right way. And I used to tease the teenagers in our youth group when I was talking about meditation, and I'd get the most outspoken kid in the youth group, and I'd say, meditation is not repeating some Middle Eastern words like, oh, wah. And I'd get him to say, oh, wah. And ta-gu. And he'd say, ta-gu. And siam. And he'd say, siam. And I'd say, now say it faster. Oh, wah. Ta-gu. Siam. Oh, what a goose I am. Okay, you're a goose, And I tease him like that. Okay. Oh, what a goose I am. All right. Moving right along. Okay. You're a hard crowd this morning. Hard crowd. This evening. Meditation doesn't mean transcendental meditation or Far East meditation. It means thinking about it. Thinking about it. Spurgeon described it as chewing the cud. You know, the cow, he'll swallow down that food. Then he'll bring it up again and chew it over, mull it over some more. swallow it down again. That's what we do with God's Word. It's our spiritual food. We read that, we swallow it down, then a little bit later in the day, bring that up, think about it some more, meditate on it, think about it. That's God's Word abiding in us. If God's Word abides in us, we'll obey it. It's not enough just to know what it says and think about it. We've got to do what He says. If we're doing what God's Word says, that's abiding in Him. Memorizing it, and then being controlled by God's Word. Hey folks, let's get to the point in our Christian walk where we just decide, Lord, if You say it in the Bible, I'm going to do it. It's Your call, God. If You put it in the Bible, I will do it. Sometimes we fight with God. We say, well, I don't know about that, Lord. Or that's going a little bit too far. Or I don't know if I could really see victory in that area of my life, God. And we draw lines. No, we've got to obey God's Word. If we're abiding in His Word, we're doing what it says. We're obeying. We're being controlled by God's Word. And that's what we strive for. And when we do, our prayers will be answered. So it's crucial. Some of us have requests that if they're not answered, some people are going to burn in hell. We're praying for some lost people to be saved. And we got to have that prayer request answered. We better abide in His Word. His words better abide in us. Turn with me back a few chapters to chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6:63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," or giveth life. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." All right, this verse has both of the same concepts that we've just been talking about. First it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." I've got to renounce my own life because my flesh profits nothing. It's God's Spirit taking over. That's where things profit. And then He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." It's God's words. They've got to live in us. They've got to abide in us. God's Word needs to have a high and exalted position in our lives, in our schedules, in our thinking, in our obedience. God's Word needs to take that high priority. God's Word will stir us up to prayer, and God's Word will be the mold in which our prayers are shaped. You see, Jesus could say, "If My words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and I'll do it," because God's Word, as we abide in Him and His words abide in us, His Word will stir us up to pray. We'll read something, we'll think, "I got to pray about that." Maybe it's something to pray about in our own life. Maybe it's something to pray about for somebody else. But God's words, as we abide in Him and His words abide in us, His words will stir us up to prayer. And then His words will mold our prayers. Have you ever found yourself praying the words of Scripture? I hope you have. Because that shows His words are abiding in you. Sometimes I'm praying for revival and I'll say, "Oh, that Thou wouldest come down and rend the heavens." Isaiah 64:1. And I find myself praying the words of Scripture. I'm praying for revival sometimes, and I'll say, "Lord, you said, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then You'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." And I'm praying Scripture. Because when God's words abide in you, it molds and shapes your prayer. And then you're praying God's will, aren't you? Because God's Word is never contrary to His will. And then we'll see Him answer. Meditating on God's Word means we're going to roll it over and over in our mind. We're going to depend upon the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that quickeneth. We're going to depend upon the Spirit to make God's Word alive to us. Before we read our Bible, we ought to say at least a short prayer and say, "Now Lord, let Your Holy Spirit make this book real to me today. Illuminate Your Word. Help me understand it. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Lord, help me to understand Your words. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law." Psalm 119. So let us ask ourselves tonight, members and friends of Bethel Baptist Church, if I were to ask you or tell you right now, meditate on God's Word, what would you do?
I'd think about it.
Okay. Okay. How would you think about it? Choose one of your favorite verses. Perhaps you would take that thing apart word by word or phrase by phrase. Or perhaps you'd compare it with other verses in the Bible and you'd meditate on God's Word. And His words would abide in you and form the prayers that you'll offer. And then we have the wonderful promise that we started with in John 15. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. George Mueller, great Christian man of prayer, would read and meditate on God's Word until a prayer began to form itself in his heart. He wouldn't just start praying and asking for things. He would read and meditate on Scripture and allow that prayer to start to form in his heart and in his mind and his thinking as he read Scripture. Then he would pour out that request to God, and over again, his testimony is, God comes through. God comes through. Oh, that we could be men and women of prayer like that and know what it means to abide in Him and have His words abide in us. If we neglect the Word of God, it makes praying in the Spirit impossible. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost, as we talked about another week, unless His words are abiding in us. So this abiding is essential to prayer. Are you abiding in prayer? Are you abiding in Christ? Can you say that His life is flowing through you? And then, are His words abiding in you? Are you taking time out of your schedule to meditate on God's Word? If you can answer yes to both those questions, God is answering your prayers, because He promised. And if we're not seeing answers to prayer, let's check those two conditions. Let's ask the Lord, say, Lord, help me to understand what it means for you to live out your life through me. Let me abide in Christ. And then, Father, make it true in my life that I'm one who has your words abiding in me. Let it happen, Lord. Tell the Lord how bad you want it. Let Him show you things maybe that have to change, schedule items and things perhaps that have to change. And then you'll see God answer prayers in a miraculous way. Let's bow and pray.